Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, all kinds of new doors will open to increase your understanding of spiritual realms. You'll also come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. So let's put all judgment aside and find common ground. And just to let Deanna know, I didn't get to you in the queue, but I will. You're caller number 5. And tonight it's my pleasure to welcome back Kate Shattuck. As a medical intuitive and animal communicator, Kate uses her gifts to work with clients in a unique way. She created her business, Radiant Animals, after becoming aware that even the best Western medicine cannot always provide animals or people with what is needed for optimal happiness and well-being. Her journey into the alternative health world began after she sustained a severe cat bite and became critically ill. Given a grim prognosis by the mainstream medical community, Kate chose to explore holistic and spiritual options for living successfully with chronic illness. While still working full-time as an engineer for a Fortune 500 company, Kate embarked on a new path, training in several modalities including NMT, Tongren, bodywork, matrix energetics, and access consciousness. After retirement from corporate life, with her empathy and love for animals still a driving force, Kate's innate intuitive abilities truly began to emerge. Although her passion for the animal kingdom was originally her focus, the scope of Radiant Animals has expanded and now includes energy work, intuitive and mediumship readings, speaking, writing, and teaching. By integrating her scientific and theoretical education with alternative healing modalities and spiritual practices, Kate has created a holistic approach allowing her clients, both human and animal, to experience healthier, happier lives. At the beginning of this journey, Kate questioned the many challenges on her path, yet ultimately illness became the catalyst leading to her destiny. Today, Kate joyfully and compassionately works with people and animals around the world and enjoys the amazing adventure her life has become. And Kate is the author of a book called Realtor's Success Blueprint, Working with Pets and Their People to Increase Sales and Profitability. So let me welcome Kate. Kate, how are you?
I am doing great, David. Thank you so much. One of the things I will have to pipe up and tell about is we had to change the title of the book. We found out as it was already at the publisher that the word realtor is trademarked. And you cannot generically. So the book title is actually Real Estate Success. Real Estate Success Blueprint. So that covers a broader range of access and information. But it was an interesting discovery, and I'm so glad we found it before the book was published.
Oh, yes. Now, it is out?
It will be coming out soon. We're in the final draft of I Keep Thinking It's Going to Be Out, and we find a delay or a slowdown with the publisher. I've been told this is very, very common in the commercial book world. You know, my publishing background up to now has been in the corporate world where, you know, you just say, get it done, and it somehow magically gets done. But in the commercial world, it's a little different.
Right. No surprise.
Yeah.
Well, callers, we're going to talk a little bit about Kate's book first, but we'll be taking your calls, and you can ask Kate what you want, and she will answer it. But for now, Kate, would you tell us a little bit about the book and how it could appeal to anybody with a pet?
Well, the book came about, really the driving force behind the book was the fact that I have bought and sold a lot of houses. On paper, I look like a real estate investor on paper because I've bought and sold so many houses. And I kept having my own bad experiences with realtors, and I have fired more realtors than most people ever know. And then to top it off, I was volunteering at my very favorite animal sanctuary in Utah a couple winters ago, and I was talking to the staff there, the people who are full-time employees. And they were so upset by people letting go of their animals when they were moving. That's the number one excuse or the number one reason people give when they surrender their animals. We're moving. And they said, you know, this is stupid. You can move with animals. And I know you can move with animals because all the moves since I have been a grown-up have been with my animals. And, you know, across town, across states, whatever. So I thought, you know, I can't be the only person who's gotten frustrated with realtors, so let's put together a book. And the point of the book is, and I've had a couple people who are planning to buy and sell their own properties, and they've said, as soon as it's out, let them know, because they want to read it to know what to ask their realtors for. Because one of the problems that we have is, you know, a lot of us, we deal with a real estate professional two, maybe three times in our lives. You don't develop a lot of expertise when that's all the exposure you've had. So because I've done it so often, there are some things that I say, ask for this, demand this, expect this. And I tell the real estate professionals, you need to be doing this. And my number one thing is, and a lot of people don't realize how many sales go to heck because something happens to the animal. And when you realize that 67% of all households in America have pets, something going wrong with the animals is a big deal. It's not, oh, well, you know, the animal ran away, shucky poo darn darn. No, it's a major trauma to the family. And
sure.
So helping people keep their pets safe, helping real estate professionals work through access to the property. Because a lot of people is like, no. You are not going to inconvenience my dog, so therefore you can't show my property. Kind of hard to sell a house that you can't show. So that
right.
Those are the kinds of things that it's about, and it's by no means restricted to the real estate professionals. It is a useful tool for pretty much anyone because I talk about getting the house ready for sale, you know, the cleanup, fix-up, getting the staging done, what's important, what isn't important. How to get your real estate professional to help you so that you're paying for the things that make a difference, not just throwing money out the window. So that's essentially what it's about.
Well, thank you, and I wish you the best success with it.
Thank you.
And I hope that the timeline will speed along and the book will be out there soon.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it coming And we keep getting the, okay, this is the last rev of this proof. Here's the last rev of this proof. So, you know, it's moving along. It's just not moving as quick as I would like, of course. And that's okay. I'm learning about divine timing.
There you go. Yes. Yeah. Divine timing with a twist, right?
Yes, indeedy. Divine timing on someone else's time clock.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, shall we go to the phone lines?
That would be awesome. Let's do it.
All right. Kathy is up first. And, Kathy, you are live.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, Kathy.
My question is, I just had my third back surgery, and I'm still having left back pain. And I was wondering what you could tell me.
What portion of the back is the surgery? Was the surgery in?
It was the
upper or lower. We'll start there.
Lower.
Okay. Yeah. So when you say just had it done, like as in last week, last month, what?
December.
Okay, so you've had it for a little bit. Yeah, by, you know, the thing that makes it difficult, of course, I'm not a doctor. I'm not giving you medical advice. I have to put that caveat to keep myself out of jail. I don't look good in orange. So, you know, I always have to be careful about that. But one of the things that people don't realize is, you know, we have the physical body, we have the etheric body, we have the emotional body, we have the mental body, and we have a pain body. A lot of people don't recognize or realize we have a pain body. And the challenge with the pain body is we build maps so that the from the twinge of pain to our brain saying, do something about this, gets shorter and shorter because the pain map goes from a dirt road to a six-lane freeway so that the information can move faster, faster, faster. And it's actually a mechanism designed to protect us. The problem is the pain map can last significantly longer than the cause of the pain, which annoys the heck out of people. You know, when you have something that, wait a minute, this was taken care of 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, why am I still in pain? And part of it is the pain map. One of the things that I tell people that, you know, are dealing with pain map, and I completely understand, I've been through the mill myself, and I've had a couple things that took years to clear up. But one of the things that I have found that makes it speed up is body work, like have a massage.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that obviously you'd have to have somebody who knows what to do with someone who's had back surgery. So don't just, you know, open the phone book and go to the first person you find. But find someone who actually does understand what they're dealing with and get some body work, because that helps rewire your pain map. And one of the things that I learned years ago is, you know, the phantom pain they talk about when you've had surgery. In your case, they may or may not have taken something out, but one of the things with phantom pain, the way to stop phantom pain, because phantom pain can bother you for decades, and the best way to stop phantom pain is to actually look at, say, you know, you, God forbid, and I'm not creating this for anyone, but if you had to have your, from the elbow down, if you had to have that portion of your arm removed, and when it would start to hurt, look at that, you know, where your arm should be and say, you're not there anymore. And that helps rewire the pain map. So with your back, what would be easy is as it twinges up, as it starts acting up, say, wait a minute, you've been taken care of. You don't need to continue, because your body, you know, your body hasn't caught up with you yet.
Mm-hmm.
Your body's still saying, oh, I've got to let her know I hurt. And it's like, no. But you have absolutely talked to your surgeon about this too, right?
Well, yeah, I was just there today, and it's kind of like a sciatic nerve pain, which I had before, and they want me to go get a shot now.
Okay, well, have you talked to your body and asked your body what it thinks about that idea?
No.
Yeah, I am not anti-AMA, but I am extremely aware of the fact that they have a different agenda than most of us do, and their agenda is patch you up and get you out. Not necessarily get you better, just patch you up and get you out of their hair. So sometimes what they suggest is a little overdone. And the other thing that I find, too, is that, you know, they're trained one size fits all, and that's never the case either.
Well, he was being more cautious because I do have another disc problem, but they did a different type of surgery that they thought was going to work. It was a shorter surgery.
Uh-huh.
So they want to see if it's really my disc or if it's my sciatic nerve.
So they're wanting the shot to isolate so that they can tell which one's causing the problem.
Right.
Yeah. I would, in quiet, you know, where you're somewhere uninterrupted and peaceful and quiet, get in touch with your body, bathtubs. you know, a nice warm bath is an an incredible place to do this. Go someplace where you can get in touch with your body and just ask your body, what do you want? And, of course, the first thing it's going to say is to not be in pain, which makes sense. I mean, all of us are on that bandwagon. But once it gets past that first response, say, okay, and what do you want? And what do you want? And, you know, people say, well, my body isn't going to know what I'm asking it. It's like, oh, yeah, it will. It absolutely will. Bodies are way smarter than we realize. And
the second part of it
is that then is you have to listen. And if your body says, you know, I've had some stuff done that at the time seemed completely insane. Let's just be blunt. But it's what my body wanted. And in those particular cases, it was the right thing to do. Even though logically it made no sense whatsoever, but my body said, yeah, do this. So I did, and it actually was a very wise decision. But you need to check in. This is kind of like the whole conversation about real estate professionals. People forget that doctors work for us. We don't work for them.
Right.
And therefore, we get to have more of an opinion than most of us realize about that's a really bad idea or that's a really good idea. And the one that I find so frustrating is when they have their really good idea but they don't want to share it because you might think they're odd. And it's like, no. If this was your mom or this was your sister, what would you be telling her?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's actually not a bad question to ask them because when you start getting that directed, it's really interesting what the answers are.
Actually, he did say that today. He said, I'm talking to you as if you were my sister or my mom. I would give you this advice.
Well, that's encouraging. That's encouraging.
Yeah.
So that he's at least more aware than some of them are, and still ask your body.
Right.
Still ask your body. Let your because this is the thing we forget is the body has incredible wisdom itself, and we need to give it the time. The problem with most of us, we want it yesterday, kind of like the whole divine timing conversation. We want it yesterday, and we want it without any hassles. Whatever it is. And the problem is that isn't the way the universe works. Sometimes we just have to give our body and the universe time to say, you know, and one of the things that, you know, I ask a lot, I got taught a zillion years ago, is this for my highest and best? And then if I get a yes, it's like, okay, is this a 6 for my highest, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being best, 1 being, you know, that's really not one of your better ideas. And so I'll sometimes go through and say, okay, is this a 6 or a 7 or an 8? And I've learned, it's taken a while, but I've learned that I don't do anything that's less than an 8. It can be from my highest and best, but if it's not an 8 or above, I ain't doing it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your advice.
Okay, Kathy, and good luck.
Thank you.
Kathy, God bless.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Mary is our next caller, and Mary, you are live.
Hi,
hello.
Mary.
Yes,
hi, Mary.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My situation is this. I have been trying to resolve some issues in the abdominal part of my body. It involves the female area, the urinary area, specifically some colon. It's been round and round. You might say, if this doesn't work, well, then they send you to another specialist, and then it's a second opinion, and I still continue with pain in those areas, and I've gone through multiple tests, and they think something comes up for a while, and then they treat it, and then you go on, and then comes back, but it's never been resolved. And without getting into every detail, I just wonder if you can pick up anything, if that's enough for you to
Hang on just a second, because there was something you said that made my little innards go ding, 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 ding. Okay. Have you picked up any of the Louise Hay books about, you know, heal your body?
Yes, I'm very familiar with that. I've been on a metaphysical path, and I've had various modalities of treatment, including acupuncture, massage. I've tried a whole variety of things, but I am familiar with her teachings as well.
What are you doing to help with? Okay, I'm just trying to figure out a tactful way to say this. There isn't one. How are you dealing with frustration? Frustration with the doctors, frustration with just life in general. How are you dealing with frustration? Do you have any kind of practice that allows
There has been a lot of frustration in those areas trying to resolve these issues so I can, you know, be a stronger, happier person. Yeah.
This is to deal with, right. The thing is that, you know, I had the opportunity to work with an Oriental medicine doctor, a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous Oriental medicine doctor, who was sixth generation, and he was rude enough to move back to Taiwan, which is a bit of a commute, so I had to quit working with him. But one of the things that he taught me is that your kidneys regulate so many things in the body that when they are not happy, not much of the body is happy either.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one of the things, and kidneys, you know, the term pissed off.
I've heard that before. Yeah, you're right.
And it's not just a thing. It's absolutely the truth. There is a distinct link between the two. And one of the things you could consider, and it's going to sound bizarre as all get out, but, you know, humor me, is you might want to consider taking a self-defense class.
You mean...
Because right now, because what I'm getting...
Physical protection?
Go ahead.
Like for physical protection?
Nope. Not at all for physical protection. For you to feel empowered.
Because
when I tune into your body, because I, you know, it took us a couple minutes to connect, but your body finally said, "Oh, I'll let you talk to me." And once I started talking to your body, that's the first thing I'm getting is that your body feels powerless. Your body feels like everybody is doing things to me, not necessarily for me, but to me. And I think that that might be kind of a pattern that you've had in life. That it's like, wait a minute, how come I'm, you know, why am I putting up with this, or why has this happened when I didn't want this to happen? Why aren't we doing it a different way? That's why the self-defense classes, and, you know, they're not generally super hard on you physically. I mean, obviously I'm not telling you to go get your black belt, but you might find that taking a self-defense class will make you feel stronger, more empowered. And once you're stronger and more empowered, then it's easier to say, no, we're not going to do that, or yes, we will do this.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of letting the doctors kind of push and pull you, the multiple different directions you're getting pushed and pulled right now.
Yeah, well, I do, you know, I don't go along with everything they say. I do come back and say, well, no, I've tried this or I've tried that, or I'm not going to go back and do that over, whatever. I do speak up as far as that goes. I'm not, I don't feel like, you know, I'm just a puppet that they're just sending me all over. No. But I know what you're saying because of the frustration and all, but I do speak up directly if there's something that I think they're just, you know, doing repetitive or whatever. I'll suggest, well, why don't you try this or test for that or look into this area because I've already explored that. I have been more proactive in that sense more recently.
Well, and, you know, you have to, because even the very best of them, and I know there are good doctors out there. I have had the joy of dealing with some of them, and I appreciate them tremendously. I'm still here because
I know what you're saying. I mean, I could afford it, I'd be going a lot more holistic and Western, or, you know, with acupuncture, with other healing modalities. I'm like you. If you go to the doctor, you know, you have to. That's your first line of defense. But I've gotten better success, even if it's temporary, from the different other things that I've explored on my own.
Well,
but,
the thing that you've got to remember is that a lot of the other modalities, such as acupuncture, they work with your body.
Yes.
Whereas the doctor world, you know, they're fabulous in a crisis. They are the best people to have in a crisis.
Right.
For working with your body, and this is, again, back to the point of one size does not fit all. We are all different.
Uh-huh.
That what is a decent dosage for one person will kill somebody else.
Exactly.
And trying to get that through their head some days is a little challenging.
I speak up when it comes to that because I have a lot of sensitivities in those areas, and I'm just like, well, I know that's what you're prescribing and this and that, but, you know, I need a little lower dose or whatever. Now, I monitor it closely because there's also a lot of mistakes that are brought out.
Absolutely.
A lot of things are...
Like this, what, fourth leading cause of death in America is misprescribing medicine?
Right.
So it's like, yeah, that's really odds I want to play. But really and truly, what your body is saying, I'm telling you what your body is saying, you can do it with it as you wish, but what your body's saying is your body is feeling powerless.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to let your body have a way to express, and that, again, I'm not telling you to go out and break bricks, I'm just telling you to take some self-defense courses. For one thing, you learn to use your body and hold your body completely differently once you started doing this.
Let me ask you, would something like, I don't really feel like I'm physically able to do it because of the pain I am and the condition I'm in, but do you think that something like the Tai Chi or something like that, using my body for...
Yes.
You know, strength purposes, if that would be
empowering. Yes, absolutely. Tai Chi is strength when you do it nice and slow. It is a weapon when it's sped up, by the way. So absolutely, something like that would be awesome because your body is saying, I've had it.
Yeah.
I've had it. You only pay attention to me when I give you pain, and that, you know, really, that's the number one thing pain is. Pain is your body trying to get your attention. And
right.
So when you
know something's not right, you know that the body was meant to show pain. If there is something wrong, that's your body's way of saying, hey, you have to pay attention because the pain is telling you. That's the body's way of letting you know. And that's even true with an animal. And they don't have all the, you know, psychosis we have. An animal, with their, you know, they're a physical body, so they feel pain, and that's their body's way of showing they're hurting, there's something wrong. And you know that when your animal is sick. I have two cats, and I've had quite a few in my lifetime, and dogs, so I know, you know, I can look at them and tell if they're in pain. But you wonder sometimes how they handle it because they don't have the mental and the emotional stuff to say, well, I'm aggravated with the other cat or something because he made me mad or this or that. They don't have that, but they have to rely on their self-healing somehow.
But
and
they don't internalize it.
Animal.
You know, it's four agreements. If you've read the four agreements, one of the agreements is don't take everything personal. And
I read that.
Well, it's one of those that you really ought to go back and read annually because it's like,
I agree.
I forgot.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things that animals shake it off, literally shake it off. You see an animal have a confrontation with another animal, immediately what they do is shake it off. And we humans, we've forgotten how to shake things off.
Yeah, that's true.
Let me interrupt for a minute. We should be moving on. Is there anything else that you'd like to say to Mary?
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay. All right, good night.
You're off. Okay, Mary. God bless.
Thanks.
Yes, no problem. Carolyn is next, and Carolyn, you're live.
Hello, Kate.
Hi, Carolyn.
Just really quickly, so much of your life resonates with me. We've had some similar experience. It's particularly interesting, I think, too, that you, although it's David gave a great lead in to you and your background and your journey, but the part that I think is so wonderful is that your background is actually in science as an engineer, and that you now have integrated the that word was used, like quantum, that they are not, Edison knew this, that science and, if you will, metaphysics are not separate. So
no, they are
not.
Wonderful. And, you know, it was interesting when I was taking my first training to do the intuitive work and to do the work that I do with animals now, which is beyond just the conversations, I had to lobby. I had to negotiate for 9 months to be allowed into this one training. This gentleman had developed this particular protocol, and he only offered it to people with a medical background, with a medical practice. And I negotiated for 9 months. Every 3 weeks for 9 months, I sent him a handwritten card. Please let me take your class. Please let me take your class. Please let me take your class. He finally, I think to get me to go away, he finally allowed me into his class, and he was astonished that I had so much easier time of it than the people with a medical practice because I didn't have the bias. You know, he would say,
yeah,
oh, do X, Y, Z, and it'll work. And I was like, okay. So I do X, Y, Z, and ta-da, it worked. And most of the people are like, oh, no, that's not the way we were taught. And it was really interesting to see that difference.
Well, yes, I guess that, and David, one of the squeaky wheel finally got the attention.
Yes.
Kate, since you have so many good, and so many people are waiting, yeah, I have, let's just say, major health issues, but that's actually, I was drawn to you because of a lovely picture of you, I think, is it with a Bengal cat? I'm a passionate animal lover, too. Well, a passionate animal lover, that could be somebody else, but as you've developed and your gifts have manifested and revealed themselves, and as you've become more tuned into spirit, so to speak, I'm using these lay terms, but I would be so grateful, because I know time is short, if you could connect with any of my beloved animals. I mean, I love the whole animal kingdom. My whole life I've done rescue work. I've attuned to wildlife. But is that something that you do, Kate?
Meaning like in your guides? Communicate with your guides or what?
No. Use your mediumship to, or use your channeling or to connect with beloved pets or animals who are in the other dimension. Do you do that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay.
It was so funny. One of the times I did it recently was with a gal who uses horses for horse therapy.
Yes.
And
yes.
I was describing this one horse to her, and I'd never seen the horse. I'd never seen a picture of the horse. I knew nothing about the horse. I didn't even know if the horse was here or not here. And she was kind of testing me. And so I did it, and the only thing that I had wrong, in her opinion, was the horse had been a Welsh pony in this lifetime, and in the other dimension, he's the size of a Clydesdale. But he didn't like me a little. So, you know, it's like, you know, we can change our sizes.
They have to understand is whether they're human or animals, they can come through just, for, let's say you have a beloved grandfather. Well, he doesn't necessarily, and David knows this, reveal himself or come through to you, you know, through your guides or whatever method as a wizened old 80-year-old. He may come through in his prime, which, you know, and so it's usually by the symbols or the affirmations. But because time is short, I would just be so grateful if you could tune in and see if any of my...
Give me a little help and say, do I want, you know, you do want a dog or a cat? Do you want a horse? Do you want a gerbil? What do you need? Because, you know,
I've had beloved dogs and cats. The greatest love of my life was a dog. Well, a cat too. So I have one of each. I'd be happy for either. I've been blessed in that. I, you know, very, very, and most of them I lost tragically in one way or another and had to, that was my destiny.
What's interesting is not one by itself is coming in. I've got four that are coming in together and they're talking, but they're not coming in individually, so I can't say, oh, it's Sparky and Sparky's saying this.
No, that's perfect, Kate, that's perfect. That's even better because, like, I always had several cats at a time, and Beloved, you know, the dogs were successive. So a group is fine.
Yeah, and what's interesting, though, is you said that was your destiny to have these animals that passed tragically. And they're saying, no, what happened is more of you were in place to help them transition, which is different.
Well, I did. I helped each one of them. The greatest love you can give is, you know this, and David knows this, he's a great empath, is if you love somebody, the kindest thing you can do is to let them go peacefully. Like Mary was talking about animal suffering and this and that. And I have allowed that. But in my life, I was forced, the tragedy of my to see some of them suffer, and I couldn't intercede on their behalf. That was, let's just say, the dark tragedy. But let's not dwell on that. They're now all in a better place. We know that. So any descriptions or messages would be wonderful.
The message that they're bringing through that I'm hearing is that they're saying that, you know, this is the thing, and we have to remember this across the board. Nothing's ever wasted. Nothing's ever, you know, even though you did let this animal go and let that animal go, under what to us looks like tragic circumstances, it's actually not tragic to the animal. And that's what they're saying. They're saying, you know, no, don't be going there. Don't be worrying about that. It was the right thing at the right time, and it's okay. Everything's fine.
Well, yeah, I know once they've passed, whether it's a human or what, that's true, but every circumstance was different. But let's just say the tragedy of my existence, I'm in my third, the third quarter of the century of my life, is that some of them I had to, the greatest suffering one can have for a loved one is to watch them be, let's just say, tortured and not be able to do anything about it. And in some instances, that's what happened. But in other instances, I felt blessed that I could help them transition. When, as you know, Mary was saying, the animals can't tell us. If you're really tuned into your animals, Kate, you know this, and David knows this. You can tell when they're ready to go. They may be staying for you because you could, but the greatest gift you can give them is, and I wish we did it more often with humans, is a peaceful, if you will, help them transition into the next dimension. But I didn't mean to get into my soapbox, but I do understand that. But in my case, some of them were pretty terrible. And again,
this is the thing we have to remember. Animals come in to serve us. Animals are not here accidentally, and there is no animal that comes into your life accidentally.
No, I know that.
And
they've been
that
wonderful.
Was the core of my being. And I love it when people say, oh, I went and I picked out my new dog. And I just laugh. And they're like, why are you laughing? It's like, you put yourself in the right place and the dog picked you. It's what truthfully happened. But
they all picked me, yes, yes.
Every animal that comes into our life, regardless of whether they're in our life for a week, a month, or a decade, or longer, they're there for a purpose. Even the animals that we see horrific things happen to. For you, seeing that, it changed you, correct? That
I had to be strong enough and show, if you will, in human, not stoicism, but I just didn't, the tragedy, let's just say, of their demise, I had to cope with it, and I think I did, but I didn't really mean to get, everything you're saying I agree with. But I guess, and if their message to me is, I think they're all happy on the other side, but I just love descriptions of any
is,
of them.
None of them came to you by accident, and how they left, none of them left by accident.
Okay.
So irregardless of how it was, they left, they came in knowing how they were going to leave, and they left the way they planned to.
Well, that could be so, yes.
Oh, no, it's not.
Maybe they had their contracts too. Can you describe any of them physically as to color?
They're not coming in that clear. They're just giving me the energy. They're not giving me visuals.
Thank you so much. And any healing energy you can send my way, David. Kate's on demand. I thank you so much, Kate, and I wish you the best with your book. I just have a great sense of the greatest healing for all of those listening is laughter is the best medicine, even if you're critically ill, as I am. And we know that. And the other thing is just I'm laughing. In my past life, I was an editor. Getting your book published, you know, the copyright of Realtor.
Okay,
all you would have
so
had
you
to
understand,
do...
yep.
No, wait. Let me tell you something, because I'm a writer. I used to be an editor. I'm in my 70s. But if you had misspelled the word Realtor, it would have gone through right away, and that could have been the joke on them. So I end with a little levity and laughter. Bye-bye.
I got a lot of fight, so that's okay.
You get,
well,
you get it,
I wish
David.
You were around.
Like R-E-E-L-T-O-R. I don't think that's copyright. Okay, over and out.
I wish I'd had one of my books with an agent when you were an editor, because I think you would have appreciated the book I'm trying to get out. But, Carolyn,
well, you know
all
where
the best.
Yeah, you know where.
Huh?
We'll connect some way. But I know there are people in the queue waiting for Kate, so I'll try to connect with you tomorrow too, David. Blessings. Thank you, Kate.
All right,
over and
I'm going to give out my phone number, Carolyn, and then we're going to move on. It's. Do you have a pen handy?
Oh, wait, let me. I think I gave Ada Marie my phone. Hold on. One second. I'm sorry. I don't want to hold up the queue. I'm just trying to grab something. I'm kind of disabled at this point, to say the least. It's like I hold this period. But if I have to write on the back of my hand, okay, yes. Okay, go for it.
315-478-1086.
I'm missing a digit. 315-478-10. I got 108. I'm missing one digit.
You're missing six. That's at the end.
Okay. Oh, 1086. Got it.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay,
thank
moving
you.
On. And you good
yeah,
care,
move
Carolyn.
On. Love you.
Yep.
I'll connect hopefully tomorrow. Bye.
Sounds good. Thank you. All right, well, we're not going to be able to get to everybody. The response has been overwhelming, but we'll try to do three more people if you can bear with that, Kate.
Absolutely. We'll just
okay.
ask them to be clear what they need so that we can move a little quicker.
Right, yep. So make your questions pointed, folks, and Ellen is next. And Ellen, you're live.
Hello, thank you, David. Hello, Kate.
Hi, Ellen.
I was hoping you'd be able to use your talents regarding pets. I have a foster cat who's been with me for over 2 years. His name is Thomas, and he has kidney issues. Can you get a read regarding his condition, how he feels mentally, emotionally, or whatever?
Well, he's very friendly. He's willing to talk to me immediately, which is nice.
Okay.
When I look at the kidneys themselves, this is one of the weird things that I developed over the years is I actually wander around inside people and animals looking at them. As I'm looking at his kidneys themselves, they are quite small compared to what they're supposed to be.
Yes.
And they're not very juicy. So he needs some revitalization of the kidneys themselves. You can do it. There's a couple ways that can be done without me getting involved in the middle. But one of the ways that you can do it is as you're massaging him, because I presume he asks for a massage every day, but as you're massaging him, right in front of, you know, his pelvic girdle, in front
mm-hmm.
of his tail on either side, just really gently rub, you know, with a circle, like clockwise, just rub. And usually with cats, I do it with a finger, just my fingertip, not my whole hand because that's a little too strong for them. And you can do little circles clockwise a couple times a day. And I'm not saying, you know, half an hour or anything like that. I'm saying, you know, 3 minutes at the most. And just do that. And as you're doing that, just visualize light and love going in there to revitalize and juice that up, because he needs it juiced up. He's, you know, he's functioning, but he's not functioning well. So that's
exactly
the first thing that I...
I would be glad to do that, but could you explain exactly where you said in front of the pelvic girdle? So I was imagining it like before the leg area. But then it sounded like it was supposed to be at the tail area. I'm sorry.
If you put your hand on his back with like your little finger right up against his tail, he's standing up with his tail up, and put it with your little finger, you know, right up against his tail. Split your hand in half. About, you know, like only the half the width of a hand, unless you got little teeny, teeny, teeny hands. And that, you know, your where your hand goes, if the knuckle of your little finger is right up against his tail, then your ring finger is going to be right about the right distance to the kidney on the right. And then you can do it, you know, you just, okay, that's about an inch and a half. So that, you know, inch and a half on the left side.
Okay.
That's the easiest way to reach it.
Okay, I'll do that.
And so that's the first thing I see. You know, this is one of the things. The kidneys impact so much of the body. We really do want the kidneys working right because it's not real good for us when they don't. So it would be worth spending a little extra time. One of the things that I'm seeing that would work with him, he's not drinking as much water as he really needs to. His body's not utilizing it properly. Let's put it that way. And what would be really helpful for him is either electrolyte water, if you can get him to drink it. Some cats will, some cats won't. The other one that would be really helpful is tunapactin water. Not tunapactin oil. I don't think you can buy that anymore. But tunapactin water, drain the water and let him have the water. Because he needs.
This guy's always been a very fussy eater. He won't have it.
Yeah, because he needs that little extra that's in the water so he can use it better. It's more accessible to his body. Because plain water's not as accessible as it needs to be for him. So those would be the two things that I do first off just to get him on track better.
Okay. Well, I will do that. But he seems friendly to you. Does he seem happy, content?
Nice boy. He's a nice boy because the minute I checked in, and, you know, if they don't want to talk to me, I don't force it because they have the right. I believe in animals having rights. And but as soon as I checked in with him, he's like, oh, who are you? Are you here to talk to me? And I was like, yes, I am. Oh, good. Let's do it. So he's a very nice boy.
Thank you. He is. I appreciate your help, Kate.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. And thank you, David.
You're welcome, Ellen. God bless. Okay, Deanna is next. And Deanna, you are live.
I didn't hear the bell.
but
you
it
didn't.
Came, Deanna.
Well, guess what? You're saved by it, even though you didn't hear it.
Okay. Hi, both of you. How are you?
Hi, doing great. What can we do for you, ma'am?
I don't know, actually. But I did enjoy the first two conversations very much. And I wanted to tell you, I recently went for acupuncture. I had about 3 sessions. And I think it is great.
Oh, I
absolutely
love acupuncture.
Absolutely great.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Actually done by somebody from that part of the world and trained, you know, thoroughly trained in it. Oh, gosh, can you detect anything wrong with me in my circulatory system?
Your body is funny. As I'm trying to connect to it, it's going, no, no, out, out, which I find amusing. It's like, no, I'm not going to hurt you. You're okay. Everything's fine. Sometimes we have to remind bodies that it's all right, and yours is one of them. So it's kind of amusing that it's giving me trouble. But what I'm seeing in the pituitary is I'm seeing a portion of it that is not functioning. And it's not new. I mean, it's not functioned for a while. You know that. So
I don't. How would I see it? How would it manifest itself in my body? What would be
the
obstacle?
This is the problem with pituitaries. Pituitaries don't usually tell you something's wrong by themselves. They bring company. And then the company is what tells you when something's wrong in your body. It's annoying, but that is one of their favorite forms of entertainment, shall we say. So what I'm seeing, what I would suggest is that you do some research. This doctor I had the opportunity to work with several years ago, he made the point that the reason most Americans die from the same diseases is we're eating the same food. So you might want to do some research if you have to go to the library to use a computer or if you have access to one at home. But do some research on foods that help bolster the pituitary, that make it more powerful and more vigorous. That's what we're after, is more vigorous. And that would be one of the first things that I would take a look at to see what you can add in your diet. And pituitary tends to respond very well to vegetables, the pituitary gland. So I've got my one of the books that I like a lot, that I use a lot when I work with people, is it's called The Secret Language of Your Body, and it's by a gal named Ina Segal, S-E-G-A-L, The Secret Language of Your Body, and the Louise Hay, and she goes a little further than Louise Hay does. She goes into the science behind some of the things that Louise Hay touches on.
Okay.
And one of the things that I really like about her is she's very, very aware of being able to heal yourself and being able to help yourself. So, you know, it's a book worth getting your library to bring in, you know, because your library doesn't have to have it on the shelf, but they can bring it in for you to borrow it and read. You might consider doing that, because it's actually a very interesting book. For the other callers that have had, you know, very specific issues, same conversation. Get hold of that book and look up your challenge, whatever it is that's causing you harm. And look and see what Ina says about it. She is Australian, so she has a little bit of different orientation than we have in this country. You know, in this country, we've had so many generations of being reliant on the medical profession, we sometimes forget to do a lot of
on laboratory chemicals. One book I love from Hay House is by Rosalie de la Forêt. By the way, her name means of the forest, and she talks about herbs and other plants. And she's absolutely wonderful.
Go look at that one. Since you like the author and you're comfortable with the author, take a look at that one and see what they say specifically about pituitary. Because, again, most of us in this country especially, we are extremely deficit in a lot of the vitamins and minerals we need because our food is so overly processed. And if you can get back to something that's a little more whole and healthy, it's, you know, people say, oh, my goodness, organic is expensive. And I was like, well, have you paid for a doctor visit lately? Because doctor visits.
I agree.
They're way expensive. So, you know,
I wanted to share this because it's funny. My nickname is Petey, like in pituitary.
Interesting.
I thought it was very funny because it's, you know, that's what people call me, Petey. So,
go look at that, because, like I said, what I'm seeing is your pituitary is just a portion of it, not all of it. It's, you know, there is still some function in it, but I wouldn't be happy if my pituitary was that lackluster. So do some research and get your pituitary happy again.
I appreciate your advice, and I enjoyed, and I wish you very much luck with your book with real estate. And thank you, David. God bless.
You're welcome. God bless you, Deanna. Okay, we're going to take one more caller, And for those that don't have an opportunity to speak with Kate tonight, Kate, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
The easiest way to find me and get hold of me is kate@kateshaddock.com. Just send me an email.
Sounds good. And Kate will be back on again, but try getting in touch with her. And Diana is next. Hi, Diana.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'll be quick because I know you don't have much time. I had was diagnosed with a rare cancer, and it's the type that Steve Jobs had, neuroendocrine carcinoid cancer. I had a right hemorrhoidectomy done in August. November, I went back, and scans were all good. I have to just stay on top of it. My brother has it as well. It's not curable. My issue's been my body, my bones, I just ache. I now have osteopenia. I got the reclass infusion for my femur, but I'm too young for this, and I'm not gaining weight, but I'm not losing weight either, and I just have, like, chronic fatigue. You know, I'm getting over a bad relationship, and, you know, I just said maybe I'm depressed, but I can't get out of this funk, and my body feels like I'm carrying 20 pounds of sand.
Well, and you know, I am so sorry you're going through this. That's first and foremost. I am so sorry you're going through this. The thing that you said that is going to make all the difference in the world was when you said, I'm too young for this. Because
yeah.
You are not willing to roll over and let this nonsense continue.
Exactly.
So that is really, really an important point. And the thing we have to remember, and it's so dang hard when you're in the middle of, you know, we read about the seven layers of hell. We don't realize that four of them are here on Earth.
I know.
And I'm not even being facetious. They really, truly, sincerely are here on Earth. And when we're going through them, it just takes a toll on every corpuscle of our body. The one thing that
I came out the other side of it, and I was like, did I just go through that year of hell? And this guy abandoned me, and I have my house on the market. And it's weird you mentioned pets and stuff, and it's the first time I'm calling in. The last couple of nights, Molly, my pug, she was 12 years old. I had to put her down a couple of years ago. She was very sick. But she used to comfort me when I was sick. You know, she'd know. And she's such a lovable dog. And I just feel her presence in the house lately. I don't know.
Yeah, they will actually still be with you for I had one kitty that she stayed with me for 12 years after she passed. And then she decided I was strong enough that I would be okay and she could, you know, go back to playing. She didn't have to babysit me. But so the number one thing, the most important thing, and I know this sounds trite, but it isn't. It is absolutely with every cell of my being, if I could get you to hear one thing, rest, rest, and rest. Because we want everything done yesterday, and when you're going through this or you have been through this, it takes way longer to recover than anybody wants to admit. And
I know,
the only way to really recover is to give your body the time. So that's a real biggie, is you've got to get the rest and quality rest. You know, laying in bed, tossing and turning and thinking about what a schmuck and la, 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 none of that helps. You've got to be able, and this is where I have guided meditations. I am the worst meditator on the planet. I will, you know, say that up front. But I found a series of guided meditations that work for me. And I keep them on my phone, and so when I've laid down to try and sleep or to go to sleep, because sometimes I actually do, I will play them. I will start the first one, and it usually relaxes me so much that I sleep through the rest of them, and that's fine. At least I've gotten stable enough that I have deep sleep, and that's the sleep you have to really recover. So, you know, just really cut yourself a lot of slack right now, that you're recovering. And some things, like I know people who've gone through divorce and they thought, oh, you know, I'm fine in a year. And then 5 years later they realize, wow, I had no idea how bad I was. Because 5 years later is when they've really recovered.
Right.
They just were going through the motions thinking they had recovered, but they really hadn't. And this is, you know, bodies and souls, and this is where we, you know, have to pay attention to our soul too. We have to allow it the time to learn the lesson and to figure out, okay, how are we going to make, what's the benefit we're going to get out of this? I'm not a big believer in suffering for the sake of suffering. I think that's kind of a waste of energy. I'm
right.
a big believer in, okay, what am I going to get out of this? What can I help someone else with? And that, you know, that, again, that takes you out of victim. Because you, the minute we succumb to victim, we make everything so much harder.
That's true. That's very true. You know, and I think that I'm just a war wounded. I'm just, I've been battling.
Oh, yeah. You've been through the mill and back again. And, you know, it's like, okay, we're doing this, except we're not.
And I've been through the mill and back. And it's just like, enough already. And my body, my bones are just hurting. So I totally embrace the organic and have the NutriBullet. And I started trying to be more diligent with my vitamin D and glaucoma.
Well, has anybody told you? Yeah, I presume you do. Are you already taking the soaking baths, the salt baths, the Epsom salt baths, the cider vinegar baths?
No.
Are you doing those?
No, I haven't.
The cider vinegar bath, that is weird. The cider vinegar bath, when you're in pain, it is, because, you know, I've been there, done that. The cider vinegar bath is
Do you mean the Bragg's? I can use the Bragg's from the mother.
Absolutely. And,
okay.
You know, if you got a small bottle, put the whole small bottle in. If you got the big bottle, put half a big bottle in. And for one thing, you'll discover that two-thirds of your skin flakes off, you know, all your dead skin, which is not a bad thing. But that vinegar does wonders for drawing pain out of the body. It draws the chemicals that make pain ricochet. You know, because it's all part of your muscular structure, muscles and bones. And when you take one of those chemicals out, the pain can't ricochet.
Gotcha.
Kind of
thought, but my thyroid's fine. I just have to get moving. But how do you move when you're in pain? I thought I'd start swimming. So I'm totally embracing, and I have for a long time, and I agree. Why pay a doctor's bill when you could put it towards your food?
Well, and you know, the other thing is, in the long term, the food's going to keep you healthy longer.
Exactly.
And so that's one of the things that we have to stop and realize. And again, I come back, I know people who work with me on a regular basis get a little tired of my, and where are you not taking responsibility? Where are you making somebody else be responsible for your well-being, which is a bad idea. Even if it's your mom, even if it's your sister, it's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be responsible for our own well-being.
Oh, I'm working through that grief. I realize that I did not take care of me.
Yeah.
You know, him first and with him. So I take responsibility, like, ouch, you know, and I have to forgive myself for those errors. And
yeah, and that's the trick, is you do have to remember to forgive yourself, because when we forget that step, we can forgive the other person until we're purple, and it doesn't help, because we've got to forgive both sides of the equation.
Exactly, and it's toxic, and stress is not good for your
right.
overall. I just thought maybe there was something else going on that I'm like, I feel like I'm 80, my bones and everything, so.
Well, you know, and this is where we get into, you know, physical age, psychic age, emotional age, and all the different, and all the bodies have their own ages. And when
right.
you have just had your body, the stuffing beaten out of it, it's older. But the good news is we can recover and we can make it better.
Exactly.
So, and that's, you know, when I was dealing with doctors, and I dealt with an awful lot of doctors for an awfully long time, and it was awfully bad.
Oh, yeah.
I remember getting to the point of they would tell me whatever, and my answer was, on a good day, bet me, and on a bad day, bite me.
Exactly.
So it just depended on what day it was. And, you know, the doctors who really understood, they appreciated the attitude, because the attitude says I was continuing to fight. And as long as you're continuing to fight, you've got a lot better chance.
You know, you have to advocate for yourself.
You betcha.
You know, my primary is just learning about this rare cancer, and she didn't think it was prudently necessary to check a couple of months ago my vitamin B and D, which protocol says. So instead of fighting with her, I said, okay, here's the information. I will go and get my test done that I need through my gastroenterologist. And she knows me. And the next time I went in, she didn't give me a problem. But, you know, I had to follow
you
the first.
It's always on you to make sure that the right stuff gets done. And that's the part we've got to always remember. It's on us.
It is. It is. I'm keeping copies of everything, too. So it's crazy. All right. So I'll just try and give myself some slack. And
take the bath. Take the bath. Because you'll be amazed. You may not feel better that night, but you're going to sleep a lot better. And right now, you getting rest is really, really, really important.
It just seems that that's all I'm doing is resting, and I'm thinking maybe I'm not moving enough, you know?
As I tell people, this is a marathon. This is not a race. And, you know, marathons are won by the person who keeps going, and the only way you keep going is to take care of yourself when you're in this situation.
Yeah. Well, I do appreciate you taking my call, and God bless you and Mr. Clark as well. And thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anna.
Bye-bye.
And just to let folks know, tomorrow my show is going to be at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and I'm going to have a psychic shaman from England by the name of Tricia Mitchell on again. She's wonderful. And if you want to have a chance to speak with her, I'd suggest you call in at 4:45 or as close to that as you can, Eastern time, because that's when people start dialing in, when I have spiritually gifted people on. And unfortunately, even if you call in right at the time the show begins, oftentimes you don't get on the air. And my condolences to area code 862, because I know that you called in shortly after the show began, and you would have been next, but we've run out of time. So, Kate, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and all good blessings to you.
Thank you so much, David. I look forward to being with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. That sounds great. And so now, once again, we come to a close. Let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night and God bless.